This has been an Advent journey for us here at Westminster. We've been doing something kind of unique. We've been studying fear. We've been asking the question, what is there to be afraid of? What do you fear? We've been meeting some people in the Christmas story who had reason to be afraid. Zechariah was afraid. Mary was afraid. Joseph was afraid. Tonight we've met the shepherds who were afraid. And you go on this Advent journey dealing with fear, it can put you in touch not only with what they were feeling back then, but it may put you in touch with some of the things that you are feeling here today. Looking through what we've studied so far, we know that these characters had personal fears. Zechariah and Elizabeth were aging. They always wanted a child, but were never able to have one. Scripture describes Elizabeth as being barren. It was something that they worried about. Mary had the opposite problem, a very young person, the opposite of barren. We'll call her miraculously fertile. But even after the announcement of what was going to happen to her, can you imagine the pressure that she would have been under? Because the angel told her that she's the one, that generations after her would rise up and call her blessed because of the child that she was carrying. We see Joseph, who was dealing with his own situations and the things that he would have been afraid of. And who knows, there's a lot in the story. There's also a lot that's not in the story. I wonder how Mary and Joseph's families dealt with them, with this news and what was happening. What we do see is that the two of them seem to be bound together. Were they bound together because it was just the two of them against the world? Maybe their communities had some not so nice things to say to them. There was a lot to be afraid of. And all of this is happening under the umbrella of the way that Luke introduces the whole story to us in the time of Herod. It's not like these individual personal problems were happening in a time of relative peace. They weren't at all. The Hebrew people were suffering under an oppressive regime. The Hebrew people were finding out what it was like to live in the time of Herod. And so you dig into these stories and you realize that life then for them is real and it's raw and it's complicated. And it's okay for us to pause for a minute to hear those stories, because the gospel writers tell them to us because they are important. Advent's a time that we're on a journey. Maybe we're not supposed to jump straight to Christmas joy. Maybe that time of searching, of coming face to face with our own fears, maybe that helps us get ready for what is to come. If you're not feeling the Christmas spirit yet, is it because of fear in your own situation? A number of us on a personal level are dealing with grief, struggling through illnesses. A number of us tonight are dealing with situations where relationships are strained. They're not going the way that we want them or intend them to go. And all of those personal things that are happening in our lives are happening again under an umbrella of in the time of Herod. We are not in a time of global peace. So how do we come face to face with those fears? What do we learn about the good news when we pause for a minute in this journey? I found the hymn that we're going to sing in a little while, O Holy Night, to be very instructive for me this Advent season. There are a couple of lines that keep sticking out to me. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. What a great way to describe what's happening in the world right now, and what a great way to describe what many of us are feeling in our hearts. A weary world. It's okay for us to pause tonight and acknowledge the weariness. You can acknowledge the weariness that you're feeling in your own life. You can acknowledge the weariness that maybe you sense out there in the larger world. It's okay to feel weary. And it's okay to feel like you are in need. And maybe that's the purpose of Advent, to get us to pause and to slow down. Because if we want to go to Jesus, we have to acknowledge that there's a need. There's a reason why he was born. The reason why he came is because of weariness. Jesus came for the weary. Jesus came for the ones who are afraid. So if we lived in a world where there was no weariness, if we lived in a world where there was no fear, then we could say together that we have no need of a Savior. We have no need of Jesus. But here we are this night talking about the birth of a child. And the reason he has come is because this world is weary, because this world is afraid. We're here tonight talking about Jesus, the birth of a Savior who has come because we are weary, because we are afraid. But we don't have to stay there. I find the part of the story where the shepherds are highlighted to be pretty instructive for us. Because the shepherds make a movement. The shepherds go on this journey. Maybe they are the first ones who go on an Advent journey. Because they move from being oblivious. They're out there in the field keeping watch over their flock at night. Nothing new under the moon. They've done this 1,000 times. And they move from being oblivious to what's happening around them to being afraid, to being curious, and then to being joyful. And there's one thing that happens that moves them through those moments. All of it is because of this baby. From being weary and afraid to, just like the hymn says, a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That's the message of the angel to the shepherds. There is a thrill of hope. Weary world and weary shepherds, rejoice. Because over there, yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That is good news for us if you're willing to admit that you're weary and that you are afraid. That the birth of Jesus changes everything. There's another part of that hymn that says it so well. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. For the weary and the afraid, that could be the most intensely personal thing that Jesus has to offer you. Till he appears and the soul feels its worth. And so tonight, in a room this size, with a crowd like this, there are all kinds of reasons to be here. Some of you are doing what you've done a bunch of times before, and you're oblivious to all of it. Some of you are afraid. Some of you are starting to get curious. And I'm going to add that some, I would imagine, are feeling desperate. In your soul, you don't have that worth that the hymn talks about. You feel like you are of little value. You feel like there is no hope. If that's where you are, then you're in a good spot. Because there is news that we proclaim tonight that drawing near to Jesus is where you will find hope, value, and worth. Look at what happens to the shepherds as they move from fear to rejoicing. There's only one thing that causes it to happen. It's coming face to face with Jesus. I just imagine a person tonight who is feeling downcast, of little value, of little worth. I imagine a person who is feeling the weight of grief upon their shoulders, or they're feeling like they're a disappointment to God or people around them. Imagine someone who is downcast because they feel like there's no hope for the future. You come face to face with Jesus, and your soul feels its worth. The hymn states that so beautifully. Till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. Because that's what happens in the face of Jesus. And let me tell you that if you imagine coming before Jesus and experiencing anything other than worth and value and joy, if you imagine coming into the presence of Jesus and feeling more shame, if you imagine coming into the face of Jesus and feeling like you are more of a disappointment than you already thought you were, if you imagine coming before Jesus and feeling more grief and more weight, if that's what you imagine coming before Jesus is like, then you are imagining a Jesus of your own creation, and he is not the real Jesus. Because coming into the presence of the one true Christ is where we find value. It's where we find worth. It's where we find joy. Let me tell you, incidentally, I think this is a message for the church. Because there are Christians out there who think in the name of Jesus it is okay to spread shame, to spread hate, to spread fear, and to spread division. And if that's the kind of Christian that you are, where you're leaving those kind of things in your wake, then you have imagined a different Jesus than the one that we meet here tonight. Because the Jesus who is incarnate love has nothing to do with shame. He has nothing to do with hate. He has nothing to do with fear. And he has nothing to do with division. When he appeared, the soul felt its worth. Friends, tonight it is okay to be weary. And it's okay to be afraid. And it is also okay to open yourself to the thrill of hope, to the one who makes your soul feel its worth. Now, tonight, won't fix it all. But just like it did for the shepherds, that first time with Jesus, it started something. I want you to think of the birth of Jesus as the flicker of hope. It starts the promise of redemption. So tonight, the candle that you hold can be the beginning of something. It can be the beginning of your weary Advent journey soul feeling its Christmas worth. Thanks be to God. Amen.